Thanksgiving. You know, if you study the world situation today, from any vantage point, if you study the world system today, you kind of look around and you go, wow, boy, I don't know if the world's very thankful. What do we have to be thankful for? As soon as it seems like we recover from one tragedy in the United States or around the world, another disaster strikes somewhere. Broward County is still trying to count votes. California wildfires are going on like crazy. Tuesday morning, if you watch some of the news, that wonderful religion of peace called Islam, well, they fired about 400 rockets on Tuesday into Israel from the Gaza Strip. Prompted a series of retaliatory strikes. See, there's stuff going on all over the world. And you know, here we are in northern Indiana, in flyover country, thankfully. And we're so incredibly blessed. We've got so much to be thankful for. And the history of Thanksgiving, as you remember from your grade school classes, helps us to understand that this nation just wasn't slopped together by a bunch of atheists. As you might remember, way back when you first learned about Thanksgiving, 1621, Plymouth Plantation. The festival lasted 3 days. I couldn't do that. I don't even make it through a Lions game after I eat all that turkey. It lasted 3 days. It was attended to with, they had 90 Native Americans, Indians, and 53 pilgrims. And though history records our relationship with the Native Americans, as you well know, not very stellar. The event was a positive step for the two people groups to get together and start working together in peace. But the purpose of that first celebration was very specific. It was to say thank you to God for His goodness and His blessings upon them. It's kind of interesting to think that they would think that way because their lives were not very comfy. The original group of 100 or so pilgrims did not feel welcome in their homeland, so they got on a boat and they headed here. What they found on our shores was not paradise, but rather hardship beyond their imagination. No communication with their old homeland, no support from their old government, very few resources to work with, and during the first winter, 45 of the original 102 settlers died as a result of the harsh conditions. So really, you know, what do they have to be thankful for? Well, they were able to say thanks because they could see more than just the hardship that they were in the middle of. They saw the blessings too. They saw the possibilities of what could be for their lives. So when the harvest was done in 1621, this remaining group of overcomers said, you know what we ought to do? We ought to take some time and say thank you to God for all He's done for us. In spite of all the junk that they had gone through, all the heartbreak they had suffered, in spite of the fact that winter was right around the corner and they were going to have to go through another winter, still they wanted to say thanks. And they wanted to do it in a big way. Now, as a nation, we had celebrated Thanksgiving off and on for about 240-odd years. And then in 1863, President Abraham Lincoln made it official. He proclaimed that the fourth Thursday, let me see if I get this right, the fourth Thursday in every November as a national holiday. And he said, it is a national day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. Now, what's significant about 1863? Well, it was about that year here in Syracuse, they decided to put this church here. Hadn't built it yet, but they were starting to get things dialed in. But 1863, we were right in the middle of a civil war. One of the darkest hours in American history. It was a time when there wasn't a whole lot to be thankful for. During this miserable war, 620,000 soldiers lost their lives from battle, starvation, disease. And right smack dab in the middle of that, the president said, "We need a national day of thanksgiving and praise." How was he able to say that? Because he saw more than the turmoil that our nation was embroiled in. He saw the freedom of an enslaved people. He saw the unity that we could achieve as a nation. He saw the prosperity that would be available once again. He didn't see what was happening then. He looked down the road. He saw a brighter future for the nation. And he says, "Let's give thanks to God." Now today, here in 2018, I got that date right. Our country faces a lot of challenges. Just a year ago, Rasmussen reports, and you got to take all polls with a grain of salt, but they said 61% of Americans said that this nation was on a lot of wrong paths. And that's not just Republicans or Democrats or Independents. That's everybody they polled. And there's lots of serious issues that our nation needs to resolve, whether it's the protection of children in the womb, whether it's the demonopolization of health care and pharmaceuticals. I hear horror stories about that all the time. The protection of our borders, national security. There's lots of things that really we can no longer ignore. The can has been kicked down the road far too long. And by the way, pray for our Congress that they would stop doing just that. A lot of reason for concern nowadays. But in the midst of our concern, set by our example set by our 16th president, we have a lot of reason to be thankful. I want to talk about the principle of thankfulness this morning. Because it not only applies to us as a nation, it applies to you and me as individuals. You know, there's some here today that might say, "You know what, I'm not worried about the country. I'm worried about my family. I'm worried about the future. I'm worried about what's going to happen next in my life." There's some who would say, "You know, with all the stuff that's going on in my life right now, I don't think I've got a lot to be thankful for. I'm just trying to get through the storm." And to you, I would say, well, here's a couple examples to follow. Because in the midst of the storm, you can find something to be thankful for. Just like this courageous remnant of pilgrims who had been burying loved ones right and left, you can find something in your life today for which you can say thanks. The harvest may seem meager, but it is a harvest. The blessings may seem minor, but they're blessings, regardless. And in the midst of hardship, I challenge you to have the courage to say, "Thank you, God, for you are good." And if you're just trying to get through the storm this morning, there's another example to follow. And that's the example of Lincoln. You really can look beyond the dark clouds of today and with some anticipation. And there's a connection between being tough and being thankful. There's a connection between having grit and being grateful. Things won't always be the way they are today. The nation, I think, 1863, the nation was at war with itself. But the war didn't last forever. Peace came. Healing began. Prosperity appeared. And for those who are going through the storm, I'm challenging you to look beyond the darkness and into the blessings that will come. Give thanks and praise to your beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. as Lincoln said. Our greatness as a people group, our greatness as individuals is dependent on our ability to look beyond ourselves and look beyond our current situation and look to the God who loves us. The God who is good. The God whose grace can get you through any problem you face. Look to Him and give thanks. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 100. It's short psalm. If you open up the Bible in the middle of the Bible, you'll probably hit Psalms. If you hit Proverbs, turn left. The most empowering thing you can do for yourself is to demonstrate a thankful heart and a grateful attitude to God. And also to those around you who are made in the image of God. So if you want to be blessed, be a blessing to others. Now there's a guy up in Chicago. His name is Stephen Post. He's got a doctorate. He teaches at the University of Chicago. It's a medical college. And among the writings in his book, and he kind of cobbed the name from another book, popular book earlier. But the name of his book is called Why Good Things Happen to Good People. Well, many years ago, he created a research group called the Institute for Research on Unlimited Love. How would you like to work for that place? This group is dedicated to testing and measuring the effects of love, gratitude, and other positive, caring emotions in human life. That'd be a fun job. His research showed that spending 15 minutes a day focused on things you're grateful for has several positive physical effects for your physical health. It increases your body's natural antibodies. It increases mental capacity. It reduces vulnerability to depression. It creates a physiological state. They called it a resonance. Improves blood pressure. Improves heart rate. He's saying that one of the healthiest things you can do is practice gratitude. It's good for you. And the Bible tells us that. The Bible tells us one more thing about gratitude, a benefit that goes way beyond the physical aspects, way beyond the emotional aspects. It's the greatest benefit of all. What is it? Simply being thankful leads you directly into the presence of God. And that's where we find ourselves here in Psalm 100. And we're going to take a look at one specific verse and we're going to throw it on the screen for you. But I'm glad you got it. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Now let's look at that first phrase. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. How does the Lord's Prayer start? Let's say that first line together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. See, that's how it's supposed to be. And when you become thankful, more than that really, when you express your thankfulness, you're drawing near to God. I was trying to paint a picture of this. You know, when you're opening, it's like when you're opening a temple gate and you're walking in. It's like you've got the rope to the drawbridge and you pull that rope and it comes down and you can usher yourself into the presence of God. The name of the rope is gratefulness. It opens it wide into the presence of God. And this attitude of thanksgiving leads inevitably to an attitude of praise. It's automatic. It's an attitude that says, God, I'm thankful for You, for all the good that You've brought into my life. And that's because God is good. Not that we're good or special or anything. It's because God is good. Now, why are so many going through life without a thankful spirit? Why do so many struggle with being grateful? Even when we're surrounded by gobs of things we should fall on our knees and thank God for. Well, here's the rest of the the whole sermon, I'm sorry, I'm going to expound on these three words, but the rest of the sermon can be found in three words. You might want to write it in your notes. Envy kills joy. I have witnessed through the decades an increasing tendency toward envy in this world. Yeah, even among Christians. The 10th commandment has been violently kicked aside. Mass merchandising hasn't helped, for sure. Oh, you deserve a break today. Yeah. But it's hard. It's hard to find anyone truly satisfied with life anymore. I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking of Jay. You know, he could hardly walk. But he always had a smile. He was always concerned about the welfare of others. He had it figured out. Boy, oh boy. If something we own breaks or our feelings get hurt or heaven forbid we have to slow our frenetic pace, it's like the end of the world. There isn't enough spare emotional energy to flip a light switch. Now, it seems every generation has more of an entitlement mentality than the generation before it. But it's always been that way. And I must sadly inform you that it appears society is not progressing spiritually, but regressing in many parts of this world. We've got our work cut out for us in this community right here, but we got to get dialed in first. We've got to make sure we are folks that are thankful to God. So many people demand the good life, but we expect the good life to be a freebie. I see this a lot. Generally speaking, the tendency is to want more than the previous generation while paying less than the previous generation, whether it's in time commitment or money. And when the hard reality of life hits us face to face, our tendency is to point fingers and place blame, demand that somebody else make our problems go away. And it's always been that way. But it's nothing new to the term millennials. You can go anywhere today, look at any age group, and find self-absorbed people awash in this word called envy. The problems have been along long before the 10th commandment was written. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And a self-entitled attitude prevents us from being grateful for the blessings that we receive. It also prevents us from being able to see beyond the difficulties of today. And even worse, and this really gets my goat. I don't have a goat. It got it. It perpetuates this sick, who can I blame mindset. So today I'm challenging you to break that pattern. Adopt a new mindset, a thankful heart, an attitude of gratitude, if you want me to make it rhyme. Oh, many times in my past Thanksgiving sermons. You know, you got to do a Thanksgiving sermon every year. You need to say thank you to your spouse, your kids, your parents, your friends, your neighbors, your boss, your customers, all the people you come in contact with, say thank you. You know, say thank you. And it's true. It's a double-sided blessing. But let's remember that the holiday we celebrate this week, as we get the turkey and the trimmings and the ham or whatnot, it was more than two communities coming together in peace, or two communities making an effort to express gratitude to one another. The first Thanksgiving was designed to be a holy celebration of God's goodness. It was to thank God. The pilgrims may have had very little to thank God for, and they had a lot to be bitter about. But from the early settlers' point of view, even in the midst of hardship, even in the midst of heartache, they saw evidence of God's goodness. They knew that the best was yet to come. It's my prayer that you leave here today with the same assurance, knowing that you are surrounded by His mercy. that God's goodness can be seen at every turn, that the best blessings are yet to come in your life. Where does it all start? Where does gratitude start? You enter His gates with thanksgiving in your heart. Saying thanks to God brings you into the presence of God at light speed. You ever notice that? Ever thank God for something? You're in the throne room, man. You are across the drawbridge. The doors have opened. You're there. It's instantaneous. Every time you say thank you, you are drawing near to your Heavenly Father. You're jumping up into God's lap. And there's no better place for a Christian to be. And look at verse 5 now. God's response to thankfulness is faithfulness. For the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Ah, so for that reason I say it. Be thankful. Be grateful. Not just on Thanksgiving Day, but every day. As many times throughout the day as you have the opportunity. You know that doctor over in Chicago. You know, he spent 15 minutes a day and you get all kinds of health benefits, he says. But imagine, let's just kind of shift gears on that. If you spend about 15 minutes a day just being thankful, saying thank you to God for, and you can just start listing them. I'm a list person. I don't know about you. Just start listing things. You know what's going to happen if you do that? I'm warning you. You're going to find yourself closer to God than you've ever been before. You're going to see through His perspective. You're going to see through His eyes. You're going to plan better. You're going to see other folks better. You're going to understand the lot in life that He is calling you to. You're going to see the lost. You're going to see the saved. You're going to see how you can serve. You're going to be able to touch this community in ways you would never be able to touch. Because His Holy Spirit will be so quick within your spirit that your thankfulness will just flow out of you to others in this community. And we're going to have an opportunity next week to do that. I'm not going to give you too much information on that. But it all begins with gratitude. Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago for the sins of the world, for your sins and mine, so that we would no longer be separated from God. He bridged the gap. The drawbridge came down. And the Bible says that through Christ we can boldly approach the throne of grace to find help in our time of need. That's for every person who has given their heart to Jesus Christ, who has that relationship with Him. But it all begins with gratitude. No one is saved without it. You have to realize what God's done for you and you have to be grateful before you can even give your heart to Christ. It's that realization. So if you want more of God in your life, if you want to be closer to Him than you have ever been before, I ask you this question this morning. I ask it a lot of times. On the calendar of your life, can you point to that day, point to that time, and you've given your heart to Him? For many people, they remember a place where that relationship began. Says, oh, I was right there. I can take you to it today. And their heart just wells with love for their Creator. But if you've never made that step this morning, and as the worship team comes to sing this morning, they can come on up now. Let's enter into God's presence. Let's dwell on the beautiful name of Jesus this morning. And if you've never given your heart to Christ, as we sing this song, and let's stand, as we sing this song, would you just come on up and just stand up here in this first area right here? I'd like to spend a little bit of time with you this morning.